On this edition of Across College Lacrosse, only four games on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we have time to fill, and with that, we'll have a lot of different topics to dive into. The mid-season All-Americans came out on Thursday. Some good choices, some bad choices. We might dive into a little bit more about the Virginia Tech situation and a few other things. Bleacher Report Live getting the rights to National Lacrosse League. Big for them. What does that mean for the sport overall? We'll see. And then also, as always, the weekend previews and picks. This is another edition of Across College Lacrosse. What? Step into the spotlight. Hey, hey. Welcome back to Across College Lacrosse. I am your host, as always, Chris Ostremski, episode 17. We've made it to 17 episodes. We've made it nearly past March, 6 weeks away from Selection Sunday, from Sunday the 1st, which is scary, and then just a little under 2 months until Memorial Day and the end of the season. That's really scary. And if you want to hear more scary, 7 weeks until I graduate college? I'm not ready for that yet. But I am ready to talk a little bit of lacrosse, because if I wasn't ready, I would not be doing this podcast. But either way, plenty of games to preview, but first we'll take care of the ones that we can wrap up, the Tuesday and Wednesday games. Four in all, three Tuesday, one Wednesday. Not the best lacrosse, to say the least. We'll start Tuesday. Binghamton getting their second win of the season, beating Siena 13-11 in Binghamton. Siena, after a 2-0 start, they are now 2-5, five-game losing streak for the Saints. They play Monmouth on Saturday, which could be another tough game for the Saints, but actually, they still haven't beaten their win total from last year, which I think was 3. As for Binghamton, they are 2-9. People thought that they weren't even going to win a game. They did beat Delaware in overtime, and then they had a 2-goal win. Tuesday, they are at Lafayette. They could get a winning streak. Two-game winning streak. Go to 3-9 on the season. That is kind of good for them. What isn't good for Air Force, 23-5 losers to Cornell in Ithaca. The most goals that Cornell scored on in about two decades. Jeff Teat, well, here's the thing. Cornell coming off a 20-goal performance against Penn, tough to beat. They did that by 43 goals in two games. They scored 11 against Yale. They've only scored single digits twice, losing to Albany 11-9, then beating Penn State 9-7. Other than that, 11, 15, 18, 11, 20, and 23 have been their totals. They play Dartmouth on Saturday, and I have a very good feeling. I think Cornell can get over 20 goals once again. They might be a really deep sleeper team. And we talked about this on the College Crosscast on Tuesday, that Cornell could be a deep sleeper team to get an at-large bid this season, with comparing to see how weak the bubble is. And they have some games coming up, too, that are big after Dartmouth. They'll have home against Harvard next Saturday. And we've been joking that we have to wait until the Cornell game with Syracuse. That will be a big game, not only for Syracuse, but also maybe even bigger for Cornell. Because who knows how many teams get in from the Ivy League in regards to an at-large. Then you have at Lehigh. That's a tough three-game stretch. At home against Browns, and then home against Princeton, which is But you know, those two teams are capable of turning around whenever they can. Princeton, I think, is a little bit of a better team than Brown. And I would think right now Cornell should be looking at the Ivy standings, you have Yale and Harvard tied at 2-0, Cornell and Penn tied at 1-1, but you do have Dartmouth, Brown at 0-1, and then Princeton 0-2. I mean, it's nowhere near over. But I do like Cornell's chances of making the Ivy League tournament. We just have to see what they can do in the regular season in these last six games, and probably five, because Dartmouth should be a win. Now, if they lose Dartmouth, that they should be out. No question about it, except if they win the Ivy League tournament. If they get that AQ, they should be fine. They'll be fine. I think that might be the only way fine if they do lose to Dartmouth. But again, if they do lose to Dartmouth, which I don't think they will. Shout out Jeff Teat after a 10-point performance against Penn. He had a 7-point performance. Sorry, at 8. 8 against Penn last Saturday. 7 Tuesday against Air Force. And then Clark Pedersen with 5. And then Colton Rupp with 4 points. Christian Knight did not play in this game. Kalen Bullen did. Made 6 saves, gave him 4 goals against. Makes sense. Because why not give some of your younger goalies some time when Christian Knight is going to be gone next year against a not that kind of talented team. Hobart beating Canisius 19-9. Big days for two guys, Chris Esselanian and Justin Scott, combining for 11 goals and 4 assists. So 11 plus 4 is 15 points on the day. Justin Scott with 6. Chris Esselanian with 5 goals and 4 assists. Big win for the Statesmen there. They are off until next Tuesday when they play Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. And then one other game Wednesday, probably the highlight of the midweek. Two ranked teams, Albany beating Harvard in a surprisingly low 14-6, could say maybe low scoring effort. But no Connor Fields for the most part. Only had 1 assist because he was playing on a strained MCL. Kyle McClancy and Justin Ray led the way with 3 goals each. Tahoka Nanicote had 2 goals and 4 assists to lead all scorers with 6 points. Also, they got contributions from Jacob Patterson, Sean Eccles, Troy Ray, Matt Perla, a nice 50-yard bomb. Alex Bergmaster, J.D. Colarusso even getting an assist on that Perla goal. Connor Fields had an assist, as I mentioned. T.D. Erland and then Davis Diamond, who filled in for Fields for the most part. Colarusso making 11 saves. And then for Harvard, Morgan Cheek had 2-1, and Kyle Anderson had 2 goals for the Crimson, who fall to 7-2. But Robert Shaw had a really good day, 13 saves. Colarusso, as I mentioned, had 11. It was a really good goalie battle there. But in the end, Albany with a shorthanded roster compared with how Fields was doing, 75% maybe or whatever. He was definitely hobbling. I didn't really see him a lot second half. I think he played first quarter, maybe part of the second. That was it. But now the question is, how healthy is he really? Can he play Stony Brook? He probably can play Stony Brook, but if you're Scott Maher, do you want him to play Stony Brook? Like, I get the fact that Albany's 9-0, and Stony Brook, well, they're 3-5. They are 2-0 in America East play, with wins over UMBC by a goal and Hartford by 2. I think you can beat Stony Brook without Connor Fields if you need to. You should be fine. But I would think that, you know, if you have a bad start and Stony Brook gets up on you and this is a game you lose, it doesn't bode well for your seeding for the NCAA tournament. I think they'll be fine without Connor Fields if he doesn't play. The big one I would think they would want to get him back for is UMBC. And then after that, they have a week off. They play 2 games, their AE opener, AE game against Binghamton at home. Then 2 days later, they are at Yale, which will be their final big test before the NCAA tournament, leaving off at Hartford on the 28th. But would you take a 75% Fields over a completely injured Fields or somebody else? I would probably take 75% Connor Fields. And that was something that the Albany guys were saying on their telecast all Wednesday against Harvard. Now, how that 75%, especially with Stony Brook, I think Harvard's definitely a better quality team. Against Stony Brook, they are home. Should be a lot easier for the Great Danes to get pull out a win. If I'm Scott Marritt, if Connor Field says, you know, I'm not really feeling that the best of shape, but I barely don't think he's going to say that. He's probably going to try and tough it out. If he does, and I would probably let him, see how he does in the half, and if it's a blowout, which it might be, like at least seven or eight goals, I would probably take him out for the rest of the game. Keep guys like DeHoka and the Rays in and McClancy in for a little bit and then take them out, and then it should be smooth sailing for the rest of the time. So not a lot of action. We did have some news regarding players. Inside Lacrosse and us have released out the mid-season All-Americans. Fields is on there along with Pat Spencer, Justin Gutterding, Connor Kelly, Dox Aiken, Joel Tinney in the midfield. Faceoff guy is T.D. Earlin. Short stick D. Mitty is Zach Goodrich. John Sexton at the LSM. The defensemen include two Patriot League guys in Foster Huggins and Johnny Serdick. And Bryce Young is the other guy from Maryland. And then your goalie is J.D. Colarusso from Albany. Now your second team includes Jeff Teed, Ben Reeves, Ethan Walker at attack, Brian Smith, Kyle McClancy, and Brian Costaby at the midfield. E. McKay as well. Trevor Baptiste at faceoff. Tyler Warner, short stick D. Mitty. Craig Chick at LSM. Defense includes Kate Van Raphorst, Chris Keaton, and Patrick Foley. Jack Concannon is your goalie. Third team, Will Sands, might be underrated. I think we had him at a second team All-American in our palette. Jules Henningberg and Michael Sowers. Midfielders, Brent Noseworthy, Christian Mazzone, and Tim Rotance. Gerald Arceri is the faceoff guy. Drew Schantz, short stick D. Mitty. Matt Neufeld at LSM. Ben Randall, Nick Mellon, and JT Giles Harris at D. And then tie goalie with Alex Heger from Robert Morris and Christian Knight for Cornell. And some notable honorable mentions at attack: Michael Krause, Morgan Cheek, DeHoka, Jared Bernhardt, Christian Cuccinello. Midfield, only three notable midfielders: Peter Connolly, Colton Jackson, Brennan Gleason, Hunter Moreland, and Kenny Mesa at faceoff. Short stick D. Mitty, Ryan Tarafenko, Chase Youngins. For some reason, I know he had a really good four games in a little bit of Syracuse, but Ryan Conrad as a mid-season All-American does not make sense. I don't know who voted for him as a third, I believe, because I didn't help vote with this. It's three teams, so somebody voted Ryan Conrad as either a first, second, or probably third-team All-American based on five freaking games. Doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe if he just got hurt like a week ago, all right, I'd probably put my name with Ryan Conrad. I'd be fine with that. But the fact that he has not played since the beginning of March with Syracuse, only been in half of the game so far, he does not qualify, and he's a great player. He does not qualify as a midseason All-American. Not in my book at all. LSMs include Sean Mayo from Denver, Connor Keaton, and Robert Kuhn. Defenseman Michael Rexrode, Chris Sabia, Scott Hooper, and Stone Sims. And then your goalies Dan Morris, A.J. Barreto, and Nick Washuda. So those are your All-Americans. I'm kind of... We actually had for our first team attack Fields, Gutterding, and Jeff Teat, who I think has been doing a lot better than Pat Spencer. Pat Spencer, I believe, was on second attack. I think we also put in Will Sands at second as well. Will Sands is underrated. Will Sands and Morgan Cheek are two of the more underrated attackmen in the country. Will Sands doesn't get a lot of respect because he's from the Patriot League. Morgan Cheek, because he's not really on a good... Well, you could say both of them aren't on a really good team. But Will Sands is not only a feeder, he's a finisher, he can score some goals, but he's really a big feeder. Like, you look at Connor O'Hara and Sean O'Brien, they have one assist combined. Believe O'Hara has 28 goals and no assists. The other guy has a few goals, some good number of goals and one assist. So Will Sands is a big feeder. He's an elite feeder. Not sure where he might go in the Major League Lacrosse draft that happens later in April. But he definitely will be an impact player in the pro game. And I hope he is. because who really knows how big of an impact you can make with only 9 teams in Major League Lacrosse and a lot of the guys still there that are veterans, and you just leave a lot of these guys like Sands and other talented guys like even Scott Furman place where they can't really play. Other than that, I think Brian Costabile at second midfield. It's a disagreement with me. Jack Concannon, I think, especially a second team goalie. That's a disagreement with me. I would have Heeger from Robert Morris up there. Christian Knight's a good choice. We had Heeger at second and Nick Washuta at third team. Dan Morris is a good choice too. He's been underrated. AJ Barreto has had some good times and some ugly times. But definitely not. I don't think Jack Concannon, honorable mention, maybe third team, but second team is not in my book. But other than that, I think we had a tough time voting for who were good short stick D-middies outside of Zach Goodrich, who got first team. Completely forgot about Tyler Warner from Yale. You don't really get, we haven't really heard a lot about short stick D-middies this season. Or the junior class, matter of fact. The sophomore class is still doing things. Freshman class, you can see a huge difference between the freshman class this year and the freshman class from last year, who are now sophomores, which is why I pretty much started to do freshman All-Americans last year, because there were so many good freshmen, and I highlighted a bunch of them, and even like Joey Manal was on the third team, and he's still really good, and he's starting at Duke now. A lot of these guys, and I think JT Giles Harris was on the second or third team defense last year. It was a deep, deep, deep class. And now you have guys such as Robertson is a very effective player. Tahoka is a very effective player. Arden Cohen of Notre Dame is effective. Matt Schmidt at the goal. See a lot of Syracuse guys that are making some kind of impact. And you have plenty of others throughout the country. I can't really name all of them, or can't really name a few for some reason. Wow, because Tahoka's the only freshman on the honorable mention list. There's no other freshman on the All-American list whatsoever. Liam Limoges at Vermont has been a name that no one really knows, but he's been making a good impact on his Catamount team as they only have one loss this season. You probably have some goalies somewhere. Alex Rode at Virginia, kind of a decent impact whenever he gets the starting nod over Crevin Thompson at Virginia. So not a, again, it's a still probably good, still good freshman class, but not as good as last year's. Not even close. With that, your midseason men's Division I All-Americans from Inside Lacrosse and kind of from us as well. Let's go. Let's discuss. I don't want to discuss a lot about Virginia Tech because we kind of, it's already been discussed in the news media, whatever. And the past couple days, we had a story up on Monday. Skyler should have a post up Friday morning about this, about what the changes we should do. And, you know, I think for me, the big issue is saying the word. And you know what the word is if you've seen the video. Just saying the word, and I get, you know, it's part of the lyrics, but I see it as it's not a word that white people should use, whether they're singing it and it's in verses or not. And if you say like, oh, this is about Lil Dicky, the white rapper, being inside Chris Brown's body, so he's pretty much saying, no, a black guy is saying it, and even though Lil Dicky wants to say that word, he can't because he's white. So the whole purpose is, I'm going to be in this guy's body, be about him, and also say the word, and he can, and he's fine. That's not a legit excuse for a reason to say that. Well, I don't think even any excuse to say that word is a legit excuse. And the girls, the women on the Virginia Tech team who did lose to North Carolina on Wednesday in a tough game, tough week for them, they were in a tough spot, and I get it that they were not that cautious of what they put on social media, but they also should be cautious over what they post on were on social media. They need to be cautious. They need to figure out who's gonna see it, who might see it, where it's gonna be posted. Because social media in these days, if you post something on Snapchat, like let's say Ben Simmons posts something on Snapchat, it's probably gonna be covered by somebody. Someone's gonna take a screen grab of it, and it'll be a story in a couple hours or whatever, in a few minutes. For example, Carson Wentz throwing a football on his Instagram story. I mean, it was kind of big. He wanted to show his progress. So many people took videos of that, became a story, and it's huge. Even his Instagram photo with his fiance without a brace on his right knee or left knee, whatever, didn't have a brace on. People noticed not only the picture, and that's a great picture, but the fact that he didn't have a brace. More people probably figured out that he didn't have a brace on his knee than the nice picture of him and his fiance. Social media, and I think if you're listening, social media is big, and you got to be careful in what you post. You know, think twice before hitting that send button. Maybe take a deep breath. If you want to attack somebody on Twitter for something they disagree with and call them a name, think about it. Even if it's a vulgar name, you definitely should, one, think about it. Two, don't even post. Simple as that. And I don't know if they're going to be disciplined, if they have to be disciplined. I would think that they should not be disciplined because, again, it wasn't for malicious intent or whatever. They were just trying to celebrate, and they didn't really realize it, but they should begin, everyone should realize it. Even if you want to listen to that, and people are saying like, oh, but they can say it, so that song racist because it's only for black people. That can say, no, listen, that clean song, the clean version, replaced that word with winner. I mean, if you want to be like a parent with the coach on the bus, first of all, I'm kind of a little bit surprised that the coach would allow explicit music to be sung on the bus. Ours probably won it. But even if you had the clean version, you're fine. You're fine with that. We wouldn't have a story whatsoever. Now, when that happened, and I'm kind of surprised that maybe the coach didn't really stop that kind of language. Like, hey, like, that's inappropriate or whatever. But it was all, the whole team was all way whatever. He didn't really, I'm not sure if he really knew the word. But the excuse, oh, they were listening to the Disney songs first, and then that happened. Who cares? Coach should have been more disciplined in figuring out the playlist and monitoring, make sure the girls or the women did not have this song pop up, or at least tell them to turn it off and go to a different song, or tell them, like, we don't want you if you're filming this or whatever. But I don't think he was really thinking about it. Now a lot of people might still think about it, but I would not be expecting. Sadly, this is the world we live in, and with the sport we cover, I would not be surprised if we see a similar incident like this in the next 12 months. Give it a whole year. And it sucks, because we've had one already with Alex Aust saying it on her Instagram story, apologizing it, and she sounded very apologetic, and it's gone after that. Also had, I believe, the convicts joke in December, which was criticized by many. Paul Rabel wearing some kind of, like, I think a gay pride kind of thing, kind shirt, or something that everyone can play, and hate with that. Hateful community. There are some hateful, there's always hateful people everywhere. This sport, where there's already stereotypes, like the preppy school kids, the white kids, and whatever. Like, I was talking to one of my good friends on the project for our site, and he asked me, like, what's your demographic? Like, I don't know about age, but I just know we're really white. And I was laughing, like, you know, not that surprising about that, but it's kind of a weird sign to say, like, you know, we're all white. A lot of our viewers or readers are white guys and girls, but more of a Caucasian race. We're happy at College Cross that we have safe as an African-American, straight up from Eritrea, and we have some diversity in from gender-wise and ethnicity-wise or whatever. And I think that what that's something that makes us great, and it's something that even NCAA lacrosse, Chris Rosenthal, and they have the whole IL women there and whatever, makes them great too. And Edward Lee, one of the best lacrosse writers, who is an Asian descent from the Baltimore Sun. There is definitely a ton of diversity in lacrosse media. We just need to figure out a way to spread the message like, hey, we should probably stop this crap altogether. Yeah. And it's going to take some time. It takes some time with pretty much everything else, but the hate that everyone else has or whatever, like even using that language, it just hurts our sport more than any other sport because we're still a niche sport and we're still growing and whatnot. And maybe you have some bumps on the way. Speaking of growth, moving on to something a little bit happier, Bleacher Report Live, if you've heard of that, that's great. If not, it's another one of those live stream things, live streaming channels that will bring a few sports to the realm of their channel. One thing that they're bringing on is NBA League Pass, and they'll have some offers for that on that Bleacher Report Live platform, which I believe starts in the summer. A few other things include, well, they're going to launch next week, and everyone will have a trial basis in June. April will have the Spring League, Spring Football, World Arm Wrestling League, UEFA Champions League, the NBA, NCAA Championships, I believe, excluding lacrosse. It might be interesting if they get the rights for other lacrosse or other championships, but I think ESPN might have a few championships on there. I have to double check how many NCAA championships they are going to be adding. But another one, Bleacher Report, whatever, that they're adding is NBA, Red Bull, GRC, Global Rallycross. And also, they are adding National Lacrosse League. The NLL, instead of what they were doing with NLL TV and their other thing, from Sport Track or CBS Sports, whatever, the National Lacrosse League is going on a bigger platform, which has really good content that has the UEFA Champions League, which has the NBA, which will have the NCAA, will have the PGA, and a few other things. National Lacrosse League is on there as well. And that is big. I see it as a really big development for not only NLL, but lacrosse in general, because you're going to have more people's eyes if BR Live does work on the sport of lacrosse, if they decide to go, you know, and do other, want to look at other sports, and all of a sudden, you know, you're on League Pass, especially the people on League Pass, because who knows, a Kevin O'Connor or a John Gonzalez or Shams Charania or a Shea Serrano or Max Rappaport or whatever, it's basketball Twitter people, they go on League Pass, they have BR Live, and they go on League Pass, and then they're searching for something else, and all of a sudden, like, they tweet about lacrosse. That is big. That is going to be big, and maybe it gets their followers to go on or whatever, but they could create a lot more lacrosse fans. Now, this says something about Major League Lacrosse and LAC Sports Network, because all LSN has is the MLL. You have some high school games. You have some other lacrosse things, and you have the CAA, men's and women's. And now they are, surprisingly, they're starting to actually have some free content on their shows. Their games are still paid. Delaware games are now free. So does that mean maybe they are trying, or maybe they're losing money? I don't know what the free thing is or why they're starting to get a lot of more free content churning for people to watch live. On-demand stuff, I think you still have to pay. I'm not totally sure about that because I haven't really visited the site in a few months. But you have some previews on there. I think a five-minute preview or a half-hour preview, or I'm not sure, totally sure what it is. They do have some on demand. Last time I checked, there was like a minute preview of each clip. But on Twitter, they don't have previews or video clips anymore of their original content, which I find interesting from their shows. They might have some snippets that are just Twitter only. But, you know, it's Zach, actually, our good friend Jack Hoods, who is going to start a podcast for Pro Lacrosse. He was in our DMs and said, like, you know, boy, LSN changed their, really overhauled their staff, and they did. Margot gone, Hawkins gone, Emerson Lotsup, I think, gone. They added Brandon Glashine, Megan Triplett, formerly of ESPN News, become like the next Margot or whatever. And Davey Emela is their new player person instead of Josh Hawkins. I mean, I haven't really seen or heard of how they do because, again, LSN doesn't really push out a lot of their original content unless you're a subscriber, and I'm not. So I think it's with pretty much with the rights with MLL, they have a thing that they could do, but if you're going to limit yourself just to LSN, you are, and I've heard this a lot, you are minimizing, you are shrinking an already niche community. You are niching an already niche community, making it smaller, and I don't think that goes far. That's why I didn't really, well, one, because the content wasn't that good. Second, after college games, and I barely really went on the college, I went on LSN for college games because I just kind of forgot. Like Hofstra, Lehigh, I kind of thought about it again, but I realized, hey, Hofstra's streaming this game. And they were streaming this game. They didn't have audio for the first half. And I tweeted at Hofstra, like, hey, why is there no audio? All of a sudden, third quarter, boom, there's audio. Thank the Lord. So they have some work to do. Maybe, and again, maybe now with the NLL doing that, maybe a rebrand to MLL TV shouldn't be something. Maybe this whole LSN thing, this whole concept was a failure because it didn't really get, it got some traction early on thinking this is different. But if you see what the NLL is doing and you need to move on to do something different to join in, you're going to have some problems. And they might get you some more money because you have a lot of viewers from NBA and again, NBA, NCAA, and PGA, and UEFA Champion. The UEFA Champions League is going to be huge for at least right now in the United States because there are some fantastic soccer fans in the United States, and UEFA Champions League is unbelievable. NBA is unbelievable. Obviously, NCAA, PGA, we're not totally sure how it's going to work, but it's a nice alternative for sports and cable and whatnot, especially with ESPN Plus coming, with a few others. There are plenty of opportunities for LSN to go on. Well, not LSN, make that Major League Lacrosse to go to. And maybe with the new commissioner, I believe his name's Sandy Brown. Sandy Brown, I believe, was a TV executive for a long time. Yeah, former ESPN executive. So, and we saw that with Syracuse with hiring John Wildhack as their AD, former ESPN president, and he helped with the ACC network, and it's going to be a lot better with revenue for the school in that network. You have this ESPN executive. Does that mean, who's been at ESPN, Univision One World Sport, he might have known, well, not really, because he's managing director from 92 to 01, but he might have been, he might be knowing about these new OTT services that ESPN and SI and now Bleacher Report have. Would he be pushing the MLL to try and get out of LSN, which is now owned by Dave, well, run by Dave Gross, a former MLL commissioner, the troubled Dave Gross, into one of those OTT platforms? Would that give them more money? It would definitely maybe get them a bigger audience, for sure. And right now, like, ESPN Plus is $4.99 a month. That's way cheaper than LSN for $8 a month, $9 a month. $5 compared to $9, and you get more sports, ESPN stuff, high-quality sports, than lacrosse. I say that's a good deal. That's a really good deal. I think SITV is doing the same $4.99. Is Bleacher Report going to do the same thing? If it's $4.99, that's a great deal. If it's $5.99 or $6.99 maybe, that's still a great deal. So this whole BR Live thing could be big, not only for the NLL, but also the MLL, and we might see them move somewhere else in the very near future. Let's talk some baseball for a little bit. Now, I don't know how many people that listen to this pod, if there's actually people that listen to this pod. I don't know how many people that listen to this pod are baseball fans. I, for one, am a baseball fan. I watched the Phillies today. I'm a big Phillies fan from Philadelphia. They blew a 5-0 lead in the fifth inning, or sixth inning. They pulled their starter, Aaron Nola, 68 pitches, and they lost 8-5. They needed their bullpen to get 11 outs. They got the 6, and they blew a lead. Now, that's the whole concept. New manager Gabe Kapler wanted to go through matchup, facing off against matchups, matchup preference, or whatever, and it failed. And also, he replaced his best hitter, Reese Hoskins, from left field with someone else, and it wasn't the same. So maybe he learns from his mistake later and whatever. That's not the key thing. The key thing is how many lacrosse people really hate baseball. Like, not like, oh, I hate baseball, I'd rather have lacrosse on my team. Well, I'd rather have lacrosse than baseball, but I mind baseball. How many people, like, despise baseball on the lacrosse community so much that they don't want to have anything baseball related, like, near them? Like, there's always, like, this been, like, kind of, like, quote-unquote rivalry with baseball and lacrosse players that each of them don't like each other because, I don't know, their personalities are different. The lax pro versus the baseball pro, whatever. I don't mind either. Like, I'm a baseball fan. I watch the Phillies. There are plenty of guys on the Q's team that are baseball fans as well. I think baseball is a big part of, you know, American life, and especially if you're in Baltimore, if you're in Philadelphia, if you're in New York, you have really good baseball teams. The Orioles, I could say they are good. They have Manny Machado, but it's a whole different story. Phillies are getting there. You have the Yankees. Obviously, they're good because they have money. The Mets might be good. So you grow up in these, and some of them even played baseball too. So I think the whole baseball lacrosse rivalry is all made up, and I think if you are one of those people that are hashtag never baseball, you're an idiot. Simple as that. I'm not a big baseball fan, but if it's on TV and it's the Phillies and I want to watch them, I'll watch them. But I'm not really like looking at like a war. What's the war of Aaron Nola or what's the OBS of Odubel Herrera or whatever? Not really deep into those stats or gonna be blogging about baseball. Like, well, you know, maybe we should trade. Well, I'll definitely be in like some general topics over should Odubel Herrera should be traded. I would definitely be in those conversations, but not a hardcore baseball fan where all I do is read, watch, trade baseball cards, whatever. I think my overall sport preference is 1, football, 2, lacrosse. Well, excluding lacrosse, let's exclude lacrosse for a second. 1, football. I'd go 2 hockey, because I know there's not a lot of hockey nuts around. I'm in a fantasy hockey league, and you say, wow, fantasy hockey league, wow, that's really out there. There are people that do fantasy basketball, too. I did that for 1 year. It was all right, but also because I was the only one that's really doing it. We had an 8-team league, and I think after the second week, 6 people dropped out. Maybe one was still doing stuff. I was doing stuff for, like, the past last month and a half or whatever, and I don't know how I finished. I didn't really care. Fantasy hockey, well, hockey 2, basketball 3, now with the Sixers, it's growing, and then baseball 4. Soccer's not included, I'm just doing the big 4. So I don't really mind baseball. I don't know if you mind baseball. You better mind baseball, because it could be some postseason baseball can be fun. Now, the only thing is that I don't like is the length of time. It sucks. Could be 4 hours, could be 3 hours. It's not like a 2-hour lacrosse game. That's a drawback for lacrosse, or for baseball there. And finally, emergency goalie. Now, you don't see a lot of emergency goalies in lacrosse because College lacrosse, there's like four or five that on like a home for Cuse, there's five. But usually there's two or three goalies on the team, and you never see if there's one guy that goes down, the second guy usually doesn't go out. And if he does, which is really rare, if the first goalie goes down, that's rare. The second goalie goes down, that's really rare. You have the third guy for the most part. If he goes down, that's uber rare. I don't think I've even heard of three guys hurt goalie-wise, and they had to bring out an extra an emergency goalie. Who would that emergency goalie be? Would it be they dressed a midi and who used to play goalie back when it was like youth ball and give him whatever he could take, or would they try and get an injured goalie out there and tell him tough it up? Thankfully, we don't have this kind of problem. In probably the other position that might be if difficult is face-off, because there might be some guys, but you could also have shorties and long poles or whatever, so I don't think that would be a problem. It's an interesting position, the emergency goalie, because the only reason why I'm having this is because Scott Foster was the emergency goalie tonight for the Blackhawks, and he actually had to play because the random starting goalie for the Blackhawks, I forget who it was, some young guy, got hurt. And with like 6 minutes left, Scott Foster came in, 36 years old. Last time he played was a backup in Western Michigan in the early 2000s. He came in, and I think he had some good saves. We started recording when the game was still just ending. So I'm not sure what his final stat line was, but intriguing position. I wish maybe this happened in lacrosse once in like every 5 years, but I don't think it ever happens or it will ever happen. But it's always fun to talk about emergency goalies, especially with hockey. And with that, we'll go to the weekend preview because we still have that to do after a fun discussion of a few topics. We'll start with Friday's games, North Carolina Duke, Bryant Robert Morse. We'll deal with picks right away, too, for Friday's game.
I want winners.
Duke is a three-goal favorite per Lax Vegas lines. Robert Morris is a two-and-a-half-goal favorite. I like Duke and Robert Morris, and I like Duke minus three. I like Robert Morris minus two-and-a-half as well. I think those two games are simple and kind of easy from there. Saturday's games are as follows. At noon, all these games at noon, Maryland, Michigan, and we get into this point of conference play begins. Big Ten conference play begins this week. Big East started last week with Marquette, Georgetown. NEC continues. Patriot League continues. CAA begins this week. ACC continues. MAC continues. So everyone is continuing conference play. Conference play begins for Big Ten and CAA this week. And I think for the rest of the season, for the most part, it will be conference play throughout the majority of the season. Maryland, Michigan at noon. Jacksonville, High Point, noon. Villanova, Marquette. Mount St. Mary's, Sacred Heart. Bucknell, Army. Fairfield, Delaware. Holy Cross, Navy. Canisius, Marist. And could be a win for Hampton. They play VMI, but VMI could also beat up Hampton easily. 1 o'clock, Air Force, Bellarmine, Princeton, Brown, St. Joe's, Wagner, St. John's, who almost got ranked, Providence, Towson, Hofstra, Cornell, Dartmouth, Vermont, Hartford, Monmouth, Siena, Loyola, Colgate, Binghamton, Lafayette, UMass, Drexel, Quinnipiac, Detroit, Mercy, Furman, and Mercer. 3 o'clock games, there's three of them. Richmond, Virginia, Penn State, Ohio State, and then Denver, Georgetown. 3:30, Penn, Yale, and Lehigh, BU. Three games at 4, Stony Brook, Albany, UMBC, UMass Lowell, and Manhattan, NJIT. And then one game at 5 on ESPNU. I will be at that game, which means I will have some time to watch plenty of the afternoon lacrosse for the first time in a long time. Notre Dame, Syracuse at 5 in the Carry Dome. All leading up to Sunday, the return of Sunday night lacrosse. Johns Hopkins at Rutgers, 7 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. Fun games here. Let's do those Saturday picks.
I want winners.
Maryland is a 4.5-goal favorite over Michigan. I'm going to go Maryland with the win, but Michigan covers at 4.5. I think Kevin Connery will find a way to get through Maryland because he knows the program. Would not be shocked if it's a win for Maryland, for Michigan, who is home. They are home. That would be a very surprising result if Michigan beats Maryland for most. I wouldn't really expect. I think it's going to be a close game, but I would not be surprised that much if Michigan beats Maryland. But I still go Maryland with a win, but Michigan covers. Jacksonville over High Point, Villanova, and their Big East opener. They are a four-goal favorite over Marquette. I like that. Give me Villanova -4. I like Sacred Heart over Mount St. Mary's. Bucknell Army is an interesting battle. Bucknell's a one-goal favorite over Army. I'm going to go just for kicks and giggles. Army +1 because the Patriot League ate itself up last week, and I think it continues again. Fairfield over Delaware in a weird CAA battle. Navy over Holy Cross. Marist, we might have some rumblings from there. I like Canisius over Marist. VMI over Hampton. I'm going to go Air Force over Bellarmine. Give me Princeton over Brown. St. Joe's over Wagner. St. John's over Providence. Towson Hofstra, thank the Lord, because Lax Vegas Lines was not originally doing non-top 20 requests. I believe they were, like, quote, busy with work, whatever. Or they were just lazy. Hofstra is a 1.5 goal favorite against the Tigers. I'm going to go with Towson with the win. Towson +1.5, covering. Cornell over Dartmouth. Cornell is a 7-goal favorite. That is an easy Cornell -7. Vermont over Hartford, and the Catamounts are a 3.5-goal favorite. Give me Vermont -3.5 there. Monmouth over Siena. Loyola Colgate, the Greyhounds are a 3-goal favorite over the Raiders. I'm going to go Loyola. Loyola -3 there. Lafayette over Binghamton. Give me UMass in an interesting CAA battle over Drexel, which could decide third and fourth place in that CAA. Detroit Mercy over Quinnipiac. I like Mercer over Furman. Virginia is a 3.5 goal favorite over Richmond. I'm going to go Virginia with the win by a goal. Richmond covering 3.5. I think Virginia somehow plays down to its opponent yet again. And Richmond makes it a game late. Virginia gets out of it just enough time. Ohio State, Penn State, the Nittany Lions are a 1.5 goal favorite there. I'm going to go with the Nittany Lions. That's a tough one because this is going to be a really big game to possibly decide early on who might or might not make the Big Ten tournament and even the NCAA tournament. I'm going to go with Penn State. Ohio State has been slumping. This is a good time for Penn State to continue their momentum against Cleveland State and Furman and those lighter teams and Fairfield and beat Ohio State and keep rolling on that momentum. So give me Penn State there. Denver against an unranked Georgetown team. The Pioneers are a 6-goal favorite. I'm going to go Denver -6. Yale, Penn, the Bulldogs are a 3.5-goal favorite. I'm going to go Penn +3.5, yet Yale wins by 2. They're always a close game, and I don't think it has been 3.5 goal. I don't think it's really been over 3.5 goals for a long time. BU, or not a long time, but for the consistent part of this rivalry, it's been really close by like under 3 goals. Lehigh is a 2-goal favorite over BU. Give me Lehigh -2. Albany is a 10.5-goal favorite over Stony Brook. I like Stony Brook +10.5, but obviously Albany will win. Give me UMass Lowell over UMBC. Give me... could we see NJIT win? Yes, give me NJIT. Give the big dogs a win, the first win. Get out of the winless column. That way I can possibly create the circle of death. Circle of life, whatever. And then give me Syracuse. They are actually 2-goal underdogs against the Irish. Give me Syracuse plus 2. The reason is because they're not right now honoring a team from the past, and every time they've honored a team from the past, they've got blown out. So give me Syracuse with the win. And then Sunday night, Big Ten lacrosse. Hopkins is a 1.5-goal favorite over Rutgers. However, Rutgers is really freaking good at home. Give me Rutgers plus 1.5, and Hopkins wins by 1. You thought I was going to go Rutgers with the win, but no, Hopkins wins by a goal. And NC, really, really good home streak for the Scarlet Knights at High Point Solutions Stadium. So with that, we bid you adieu. We are actually 10 minutes longer than what we usually try to aim for, 40 minutes. So that makes up for Tuesday's pod. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. We're still working on Google Play. It's really hard. Just trust me on that. Have you tried a podcast on Google Play and tried to upload it? It sucks. Stitcher, you can do that. TuneIn, you can do that. Make sure you leave a review if you do subscribe on iTunes, or you just want to leave a review just because you like us for no reason whatsoever. Leave us a review. 5-star reviews are always good for us. I don't think we've had any new reviews yet. Nope. Still no 5-star reviews. If you do have one, we will read it on air. So please do so, even if it's not even 5 stars. But still, give us 5 stars. We like it. We all love you here. Follow the website, collegecross.com. Follow me on Twitter at CF Dostremski. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. And then also follow us on Twitter at college_cross. We'll have content. We'll have the streams for Saturday's games and Sunday's games. We'll have some more content, articles or whatever, picks, whatever, podcasts, you name it. And we will see you on the other side of the weekend. Stay hydrated, everybody.
Bye, Felicia.